Hi everyone, welcome to the second part of our Christmas series, where today we're going to be looking at Mary's song found in the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to take a moment to pray and ask for God's help as we look at this song from Mary, and then we'll read the passage and then think about it for a little while together. So let's pray and ask for God's help as we look at this part of his word. Father, we thank you that we have your word to read in our own language. Thank you for the privilege that is. We thank you for your many blessings to us in so many ways. And help us as we dig into this song by Mary. We pray that you teach us, you'd encourage us and challenge our own hearts. Help us, Lord, as we dig into your word. Feed us and help us by your Spirit. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read the passage from Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 46 to 56. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Are you someone who is quick to give out praise? Maybe when you have a really good meal or you see someone handling a particular situation well. You see someone who is highly achieved in their lives. Are you quick to give praise to them? Maybe over Christmas dinner this year, you saw an argument starting. But someone stepped in and changed the subject, and the mood changed round the dinner table. Or if you, like me, like watching Match of the Day on Stephen's Day, you see a really good goal or you see a really good team win, like United, for example. Do you praise the team and the players for how well they play? Maybe you see someone who's really good at relating with children, speaking to them, playing with them. Do you praise them for the gifts that they have? We praise these things when we see them. We might say to our family member who stepped in to stop that storm that was brewing, "Well done, you really disarmed that situation at dinner." We praise Man United's excellent play. Or we praise the ability of those who can relate really well to others. We praise others' achievements. When we see something that impresses us, or we know that it's good, we do, or we should, give out praise. And here, Mary sees something very special that God has done for her. And so she praises God for what he has done. So as we look at this passage together, I want to think about it in a couple of ways. And the main heading is that we want to praise God. And there's a number of reasons why we would praise God. So the first is that we would praise God for how he acted towards Mary. Look again at the first few verses of Mary's song. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." This may sound like an obvious question, but who is this Mary? If you've been around for a few Christmases, you may have heard about her. You'll probably have heard about her husband-to-be, Joseph, or Joe, as his friends like to call him. You might have heard about their journey to Bethlehem, and about the amazing news that she received from the angel Gabriel a few verses earlier. She was going to give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. Now, there wasn't anything particularly special about Mary. She was a normal woman from a normal family. And in her family, she had a famous great-great-great-great-great-grandfather called King David. But Mary wasn't from a wealthy background, and she didn't have any particular status or position. But God showed favour to Mary. That means that he showed her grace. He showed grace to Mary. He showed kindness towards her, even though she wasn't deserving of it in and of herself, what she had done or who she was. The Saviour of the world was going to be born through Mary. We hear it so often, and it seems so normal, that Mary, who was a virgin, was going to give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. Of course, we think. But this is astounding news, that God was going to be born. The God who has existed from eternity past was going to be born. And it was through Mary. He was going to arrive. What an amazing privilege for Mary. And she responds in praise, seeing what God had done for her, what he was going to do through her. She responds in praise to God for what he had done for her. When I was in secondary school, I was a member of the student council. So when the president at the time, Mary McAleese, came to visit the school, I was chosen as one of the students who got to meet her. Now, I wouldn't have really appreciated it at the time, but it was an honour to meet the President of Ireland. Now, if I remember correctly, I think she got my name wrong. I think the badge I was wearing had Tom written on it, a little bit funny. So I think she got my name wrong. But still, to meet the President is an honour. Someone of such high status and authority in our country. It was an honour to meet her. But Mary here isn't just meeting God, not just meeting the Son of God. She was given the amazing privilege of being the one through whom God would enter the human race. What an incredible privilege that Mary had been given by God. And again, this wasn't because of anything special that Mary had done, or because she had lots of money, or because she had won a special competition, but because God had shown favour to her. He showed her grace. And it was because of his grace that Mary was given this honour. She recognises in verse 48 her own humble position. Mary has her own story about what God has done for her. And she praises God for that. And each of us have our own stories about what God has done for us. And as we recognise his work in our lives and his grace towards us, we can praise him too. We must praise him too. Different stories, different backgrounds, but the same big idea is that he has shown grace to us. He showed grace to Mary with this incredible privilege that she would be the one who would give birth to the Son of God. But he has shown grace to us in that little baby who died for us, that if we trust him, he shows us grace by welcoming us back to his family. Instead of being God's enemies, we become his friends. He shows grace to us. And in so many ways in our lives, the things that we enjoy are because of God's grace. He saved us not because of what we've done or because of who we are, but because of who he is. Mary had a very particular role in the story of salvation, but she herself recognizes a need of a savior. She says in verse 47, "And my spirit rejoices in God, my savior." Just like each of us who are trusting in Jesus, we've recognized that need for a savior. Look at verse 50. It says, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." And that mercy has come down to us from way before Mary, from Mary herself, all the way up to the present time and into the future. God's mercy is for every generation. And when we come to him And when we trust in him, he has mercy on us. He saves us from the judgment that we deserve from God, and we can praise him for that. Now, it's sad that we can't sing a song like Mary when we're together in church at the moment. But why don't you take a moment now to praise God for what he did through Mary and how he arrived in this world, and praise God for how he has shown grace to you. Take a moment to praise him. Mary's story is an example of the way in which God acts towards people in general. We saw how he acted towards Mary, and we can praise him for that. That's what Mary's doing. She's praising God for how he has acted towards her. But she also highlights something else that we can praise God for. We can praise God for how he acts towards all people. Look at verse 51 to 53. Says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. We have a couple of pictures here that tell us about the way God works. When you start a new job, or you get a new boss, or maybe you get a new teacher in school, the first few weeks will give you an idea of what kind of boss, what kind of teacher they're going to be. How do they do things? Will they be mean? Will they be nice? Will they breathe down my neck and micromanage me? Or will they be really nice and let you go home 5 minutes early? Well, here Mary gives us a picture of how God does things. God brings down the proud, but he lifts up the humble. As we look at these pictures that Luke gives us about how God acts towards people, we see a number of different characters, and Luke describes the outcomes of these characters. God has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He brings the rulers down from their thrones, and he sent the rich away empty. But we see that God lifts up the humble, and he has filled the hungry with good things. So what's happening here? It's like there's a reversal going on. You'd expect the rich to have all that they need, but yet they're sent away empty. Or the hungry, well, they're being filled with good things. The rulers, the rich and the proud, they're all brought down, but the humble and the hungry are lifted up and filled. God brings down the proud, but lifts up the humble. Mary is singing about the type of person that God brings down and the type of person that God lifts up. Those being brought down are those who have their dependence on things other than God. On power, on money, on friends, on themselves. But those that God is lifting up are those that don't depend on anything other than God. God is all they have to depend on and trust in. The more we have things like authority, responsibility, financial security, friends, popularity, the more we're in danger of trusting in something other than God and rejecting the need for God's help. But has this reversal happened yet? Well, yes and no, because as we look around, we can see rulers on their thrones today, rulers who have power, who have not been brought down. And they're still ruling in a way that goes against God. And we can still see the humble and the poor being persecuted and suffering and hungry. Mary, maybe when she was singing, she may have had examples in her mind of how God has already acted like this. Maybe she remembered someone like Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament. He was a very proud king. He rejected God's authority. But if you remember the story, God brought him way down, took away his power, and he ended up living like an animal in the field. And it wasn't until Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself before God that God restored his position and lifted him up again. Mary is singing about the way God acts towards people in general, and we can praise God for how he acts. It's not how we might imagine, that the powerful, the proud, that the rich, they're brought down because they're not depending on God. But the humble and the weak and the hungry, when their dependence is on God, he lifts them up. He doesn't act like we might expect. He chose Mary, a humble woman, to enter this world. He used a shameful execution on a cross as the means of defeating sin and death. So if this reversal hasn't happened yet, then how is God going to do it? Well, the little baby that was going to be born to Mary is the one who is going to bring this new upside-down kingdom. Jesus grew up and he taught about this new way. And it was his humble life and it was his humble death that God used powerfully to bring in this new kingdom, which would never end. And he rose from the dead, and this kingdom is now never-ending. It is everlasting. And those who are meek and who are humble and recognize that all they have is Jesus, well, they're welcomed freely in. But God brings down the proud, and he welcomes the humble. So how are our hearts towards God? Are we trusting in our own abilities, our own security, the strengths that we feel that we have, our popularity? Is all of this where our dependence is? Well, if so, we are poised and we're ready to be brought down. But if we're trusting in him, we can already with confidence know that he has lifted us up to such a high place of honour that being in his family, and one day we will fully experience that honour. We have been called his sons and daughters along with Jesus. If we're trusting in him, he has lifted us up to that incredible place of being adopted into his family, being heirs along with Christ. We can praise him for how he deals with people because he's chosen people like us, people who aren't special in any particular way, to be in his family. We don't have status. We may not have had wealth or security. We may not have been born in the right place at the right time. But God welcomes those who recognize that all they need is him. There's nothing special in us that has caused him to love us, but he has simply chosen to love us. He has shown us grace. No matter how low we may feel or how highly we may think of ourselves, if we come to Jesus, like those little children, he will throw his arms around us and lift us up. Take a moment to reflect on who we are trusting in or what we are trusting in. And again, praise God for how he does things, bringing down the proud but lifting up the humble. Praise him. Finally, we can praise God for how he acts towards his own people. Look at verse 54 and 55. It says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. We've seen how we can praise God for how he acted towards Mary. We can praise him for how he acts towards all people. And now we see how we can praise him for how he acts towards his own people. God has remembered his promise. He's remembered the mercy that he promised to Mary's ancestors. She's reflecting on the faithful God that she's praising. That promise started all the way back in Genesis, when God promises that someone born of a woman, now we know who the woman is, that person born of the woman would crush the serpent's head. God speaks to Abraham and he tells him about how through his offspring all nations would be blessed. And that blessing through Abraham is Jesus. There was a promise of a savior to come, the Messiah, God's chosen king and ruler, who would come and he'd bring peace and he'd establish an everlasting kingdom. That was the promise. That was what they were waiting for. And God did it. God remembered his promise and he sent Jesus, the Messiah, the very King of the universe, to fulfill his promise, to remember his mercy towards his people. He didn't forget, and he did just as he said, just as he had promised his ancestors. And Mary's reflecting and praising God for his faithfulness. The promise that was thousands of years old was fulfilled in Jesus. This little baby that was going to be born of Mary was a demonstration of God's faithfulness to his people. He was doing what he said he would do to save his people. Are any of you still waiting for a promise to be fulfilled? Maybe you had to do a lot of your shopping online this year, and your parcel was promised to have arrived before Christmas, but it hasn't shown up. That wouldn't be Amazon. Or maybe you were promised a weekend away in the new year after all this busyness, but that's not looking very likely now, is it? Well, a promise is only as good as the one who makes it. But the promises of God are always fulfilled because it's God himself who makes them. They do not get forgotten. He sent a savior to rescue his people, to rescue us, those of us who are his people today. And we can praise God for how he has acted towards us, towards his own people, that he sent a savior, Jesus, just like he promised. This gives us great hope for the future because he has promised us eternal life. Life in a glorious new world that is better than anything that we can imagine. He promises to be with us, to watch over us. He promises that he's working for our good. He is a faithful God, faithful to his own people, faithful to his promises, and we can praise him for that. Praise him for how he has acted towards us, and how we can trust him for the future. So we can praise God for how he's acted towards Mary. Praise him for how he acts in general towards all people, the way in which he works in this world. And we can praise him for how he has acted toward us and towards his own people. So let's be people who praise our faithful God for all that he has done. Let's not be slow to give him praise. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you for the great and awesome God that you are. We praise you like Mary did for how you acted toward her, how you showed her grace, how you appointed her for this task of
bringing Jesus into this world. Thank you for how you act towards people in this world, that you bring down those
who are prideful and you lift up the humble. That, Lord, what it takes in your eyes is to submit ourselves to you, that we don't need to earn anything before you, but that we can say all we have is you. And we thank you that you lift us up. We praise you, Lord, for that. And Father, we praise you for how you have acted towards us, that you sent Jesus, that you fulfilled that promise of a Savior, of someone who would restore this broken world and our broken lives. And we thank you for doing that for us. We praise you, Father. And we do these things and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.